Hello, everybody. Welcome to Old and New, the movie podcast, where we talk about new releases and classic releases all around. Hi, I am Jake with my good friend Siri here today. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Halloween is almost here, so yes. That makes me excited.
It's tomorrow.
I know. Like, are you going to dress up?
I really want to, but I don't want my students to make fun of me.
Right. Oh, just to clarify, Siri is a teacher for the listeners at home.
Yeah, they're much cooler than I am. They're going to just be like, no, just go home.
Well, they apparently watch Zombieland at 6.
Apparently. Like, they just got it going on, man. They have all that culture in them. Not enough, though. Honestly, they're missing out on some things.
They need me to educate them about the world.
I had a student ask me the other day if I had ever heard that song, "Is This the Real Life" by Queen. Ooh. And I'm like, dude.
No, I don't even.
You mean Bohemian Rhapsody? And she's like, do you know it? I'm like, yeah.
I saw the fucking movie.
I heard that song when I was a kid. It has a name, man.
Oh, my God. It just makes me hate teenagers even more, as Kane would say.
Nah, I just wanted to give her a hug and be like, oh, sweetie, you need to not go out in that world.
No, you need to be aware of the greatest songs of all time.
Yeah, be schooled, man. Be schooled. Get educated, bitch.
So, the fact that it is Halloween tomorrow, probably when you're hearing this, it'll be very close to the date. So I thought we'd talk about a modern horror classic, as they call it, Cabin in the Woods, the Cabin in the Woods, technically. But I just rewatched it the other night, and this is a horror movie comedy, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers there. There are so many.
Yeah, and it does a very good job with the genre, like in the typical, you know, college kids go to a cabin and weird shit happens. And this movie is really, really good, and it's kind of up there with, like, best horror movies of the 2000s. Like, I think Get Out is up there, Hereditary, stuff like that. And this one's very good, too. But before I talk about the movie, kind of just want to do some pre-discussion, because, as you know, who produced and co-wrote Cabin in the Woods is Joss Whedon. He did not direct it. It was directed by a guy named Drew Goddard, but there is allegedly word that Joss Whedon actually directed more but he just wasn't credited as director. It's kind of like they say Steven Spielberg directed Poltergeist, but he's not credited as the director. Why, I don't know, but he co-wrote the movie in apparently him and his partner, Drew Goddard, they wrote the movie in 3 days, apparently.
Only a legend like Joss Whedon could ever do that. He's like one of those people who can start with nothing at all, and within an hour, he has like a masterpiece of all time.
You know, it's like John Hughes could do that too. You know, he wrote like all his like big high school movies in like a couple days, like Ferris Bueller. He wrote in like a couple days, The Breakfast Club. You know, it's just when the ideas just come to you and like they just happen, you know, and then it's like, oh, wait, you know, I figured this out and I know how it's going to go, which is cool. But I kind of see myself as that, too, because I can only really write when I'm in the mood. I have to like
definitely
feel it, or else I'll just be sitting on a screen and be like, oh, what the fuck am I doing with my life? But yes, you're a big Joss Whedon fan, as I know.
Definitely, definitely. I've watched almost everything that he's made. There are some things that I have not ventured into yet. But what I love about him is that he reuses actors like from different things.
Oh,
he shares them amongst all of his works
because all his
he's
projects.
Just so, so like close to them, and he believes in them so much. Like people from Firefly, so many people from Firefly ended up villains in other Joss Whedon shows. It's where all the bad guys are breeded or something. I don't know.
Like he wanted to use those actors. Because I know in, like, Dollhouse, it has people from Angel and it has people from, like, Angel and Buffy and Firefly.
Exactly.
And it he does reuse actors a lot before he kind of I know this sounds bad, but he kind of went like more mainstream when he directed the first two Avengers movies. Not mainstream, but like I don't think it was a sellout because he apparently was very involved with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, kind of getting it off the ground. And I do think he's passionate about it, but now he's with DC doing stuff. But yeah, so what was like your first exposure to Joss Whedon? Was it Buffy that got you into his work?
Actually, no. When I was a kid, like way, way young, my when I say way young, I wasn't super young, just young enough that I was able to remember. My parents showed me Firefly. That was my first one.
It was a great show, and I mean, it's one of those shows that. Big story. It got canceled after one season, but that led to the DVD set like being one of the highest selling DVD sets of all time. And the reason Firefly didn't do well on air is because Fox aired them out of order, which is why the ratings weren't good weren't as intended. Same with Dollhouse technically ran for two seasons, but it again got canceled because of supposedly low ratings, which is. Fuck Fox for everything.
Fuck Fox.
Which is weird because I'm like his show started on the WB and they did pretty successful. I don't know why they didn't do well on Fox.
I don't know. Different viewers. Dollhouse is my favorite show of all time. Like it's amazing, and I'm pissed that it was canceled. I need more than two seasons.
Like Fox canceled Firefly and Dollhouse.
Yeah, Fox canceled Firefly. He had to tack on three episodes onto the DVD set because he needed closure, and then he made Serenity because it wasn't done yet. He just didn't feel right about it.
Yeah, he did make Serenity, which was very good, and like taking place after the last episode. There's only one thing I don't like about Serenity. Spoiler, Wash dies, and that pissed me off, but it's kind of like when Han Solo died, but like why would you do that? But
it's awful, but I guess good stories, good people die.
Yeah. But, you watched Firefly and kind of just that started the rabbit hole.
Yeah, definitely. It started with Firefly, and then it ventured a little bit into Buffy, and then Buffy turned into Angel, which turned into Dollhouse, which just kind of turned into everything else.
And I'm reading up on here. Apparently, he co-created Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I guess that's technically a show. I never watched the show, so... I don't really follow the Marvel TV shows after the Defenders, but so that's really cool. And I actually love Sarah Michelle Gellar, so and you know Buffy and Angel, what I liked about those shows is they were kind of like I don't want to say they were like cult classics, but they were more like on a cult classic network because the WB wasn't like it's still not like up there like not well known. Like with CBS, ABC, all that NBC, but it's still like they more have like a cult following. Well, because now it's like Supernatural and the DC shows, and back then it was for things like Buffy and Angel.
Yeah,
you know they had that draw.
Exactly, and what I love most about Joss Whedon is his dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like, his dialogue is, if you hear it, you automatically know it's Joss Whedon. He makes up words, but they make sense. And it's just like, it's William Shakespeare style because Shakespeare came up with so many different sayings and things.
Well, I think of that like Star Trek, too. Star Trek made up, like, the original series, they made up so many words, and now, like, they're used. Like, phaser? I don't think phaser was used in that context until Star Trek. And now it's used as, like, a laser gun. So
yeah. And a lot of things are based off of it, like those opening doors at Publix or any grocery store, the automatic doors. That's where modeled like, after Star Trek.
Cool. No. Yeah. Speaking of great writers, if Tarantino does the next Star Trek movie, that will be pretty good.
That's another dialogue.
Heavy.
Heavy writer. I want to see him... work with Joss Whedon. I think
that'd
be
something.
The best movie of all time.
No, probably up there. I mean, two superpowers. It's like USA versus Russia, or USA and Russia if they teamed up together.
They both like big finishes, if that's the term for it. especially Cabin in the Woods, which had a big finish.
Oh yes, and I am definitely gonna get to that because there's. So much to unpack there, and I'm glad, it was a perfect Halloween movie to watch, and it was, I watched it the other night, I was really fucking stoned, and it really fit the mood, because it just was awesome. And, you know, his career, he started off as a writer. He worked on sitcoms, and then he wrote or co-wrote movies like Alien Resurrection, Toy Story. He actually is a co-writer on the first Toy Story. And then he created Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was based on the movie he wrote. And then Angel, which was a spinoff of Buffy. And then, you know, Firefly Dollhouse. You know, he had all these TV shows, and then, like, in the late 2000s, it kind of changed, and he kind of became involved in the Marvel Universe and that whole Joss Whedon doing, like, cool sci-fi slash horror work kind of ended. So I kind of consider Cabin in the Woods kind of the last trace of that before, you know, Joss Whedon did stuff like Avengers. Not that the Avengers stuff's bad. I love Marvel movies, but I'm not like Martin Scorsese, who calls them trash. But
it's the end of an era, but the start of a new one.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Though I do think the Avengers movies got better later on. I think the two he directed are not as good as Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that Joss Whedon has always been better as a writer than as a director.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, most people are like, I mean, Judd Apatow's like that too. And the problem is, like he said with the Avengers movies, he was under a lot of like creative liberties, like with Disney. You know, it wasn't like he couldn't really. I mean, I think he kind of had, because he's credited as writer in both the movies, and I think, like, he kind of did, like, probably his version, but Disney had notes, and that probably led to a lot of things being changed, and that's probably why he went to the other side and did the reshoots for Justice League, which was really obvious, because there are a lot of, like, super dark scenes in that movie that are by Zack Snyder, and then the Joss Whedon stuff really sticks out like a sore thumb. So, yeah, Cabin in the Woods is, like, the end of the Joss Whedon era, or, like, the swan song, and it is a damn good one.
Oh, yeah. No, it went out with a bang. Like,
it's so fucking good. Like, I mean, it's so unique. Like, well, it's unique in the way it takes, a stereotypical plot and really, like, gives it a whole new layer. You know, you have, you know, the kids go into the cabin, and then when you find out what really happens, it's like, damn, like, my mind's blown. And then it's funny because Cabin in the Woods actually got, it was filmed in 2009. I'm reading it off here. It was filmed in 2009. And then what happened is they finished, and it was on the shelf for a couple years because the studio, made it with, was experiencing technical difficulties. So it was kind of like on the shelf for a while, no one like picked it up and all that, and then I can't remember what happened, but I think Lionsgate, the company that released it, they watched it and they decided to pick it up for a release, which is why it came out 3 years after they filmed the movie, which is like weird because it came out in April 2012, which is weird when you look, because Chris Hemsworth's in it, and they filmed it before he was cast as Thor, but the movie came out after he was known as Thor, so it's like, it was jarring.
Yeah, it was the original, but no one knows that now.
Yeah, I mean, after, not Thor. If you like the original Thor, I'm sorry, but I did not.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I didn't again, like Thor until Endgame.
Well, again, you gotta watch Ragnarok, because that was like the first of the comedic Thor.
I'll check it out. It's in my list on Netflix.
Your list? Oh, yeah. And Eyes Wide Shut, too.
Yeah, that's such a strange premise from what you said. Something about Tom Cruise and an orgy.
He goes to a masked orgy. Like, he goes to an orgy in, of a secret society, and they're all wearing masks.
Ah, so like a masquerade orgy?
Yeah, but it's hard to explain. Like, the movie is crazy. Like, I don't want to spoil anything, but he sneaks into this thing, and it's insane. But it's a really good movie, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, so... pretty long too, but I watched it for the first time the other day, and I really loved it. It was awesome. Okay.
So, I'll check it out.
Yeah, but you know, so Cabin in the Woods comes out in April of 2012, and then, you know, is a really big critical hit. Did pretty good at the box office. Unfortunately, got overshadowed by the Hunger Games movie, but
I think that it should have overshadowed the Hunger Games. I really do.
I mean, I like the first two Hunger Games movies, and then they went really poor.
Yeah, I was never really a fan.
See, everyone dislikes Jennifer Lawrence, and I
like love her. I just don't love the movie that she made there. Like, she is great. I love how honest and real she is, but I don't love the Hunger Games at all. Like, I don't have to.
Like, it doesn't work as well with that.
It's not her personality. It doesn't work. It's just very flat. I get Twilight vibes from her there. Ooh. And I don't love that. I don't need I love Kristen Stewart too, but she had no personality in Twilight, and that's the sort of the Hunger Games thing.
I'm glad Kristen Stewart is finally doing roles that like suit her rather than like same with Robert Pattinson.
Well,
Robert Pattinson, it's like more well known because he's like doing like a lot of like big dramatic roles right now.
Yeah, and he hid that accent, and he would have done so much better if it's even possible, because Twilight like was a booming success.
It was huge.
Would have done so much better if he left that accent in his work. Oh my God, you know how many more girls would be coming in if he had that accent?
Yeah, well, man. I mean, it just reminds me of like middle school, because I saw the Twilight movies in theaters because I would always be dating a girl that wanted to see them, so I always ended up watching them. And this was before like I was really into movies, and I like saw like everything. I was like 13, 14. It was like when Breaking Dawn was popular.
And all stigma aside, which is your favorite?
I mean, okay, probably New Moon if I had to pick. That's like same. The most watchable.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice. That's a good one.
Worst is probably Eclipse, which is right after.
I feel you on that. It's just Taylor Lautner. As soon as he came in and kind of pushed the Colin boy away, it started getting good because he has more personality. He's got more fire to him, which is hashtag Team Jacob.
Hashtag Team Jacob. Yes, yes. anything for a person that shares my name. So if you want to start with any thoughts on Cabin in the Woods or just any impressions, you go ahead.
I think that the most simple way of explaining it to somebody is that every time you think it is one movie, it's another one. It's one genre and then it changes. It's never the same thing for the whole movie, which is amazing in itself, but also like it grows and it just gets more and more complex. And as soon as you're like, I got this figured out, it's like, bam, you hit a wall and it's something else.
Yeah, especially that ending. That ending's fucking crazy. But I love how it starts, too. Well, it starts with my favorite part of the movie. Not my favorite part, but my favorite aspect. It starts with the two engineers played by... I don't know the characters' names, but I know they're played by Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford, who was the dad in Get Out, Bradley Whitford. And Richard Jenkins was in Shape of Water.
Ooh, that was a movie.
That was quite a movie. But so basically, like, that opening scene, you see them working and stuff. It's kind of like a day at the office, and apparently that part was meant to by both Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon to confuse the audience and make them think they walked into a different movie. Like, you see these guys talking about this experiment, and you have no clue what they're talking about. And then it cuts to the kids, you know, the college kids. Now they're our age, but well, they're not our age. They're supposed to be our age, but all the actors are like in their late 20s. So.
Yeah, no, but I think the real star of this movie was, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Fran Kranz, I think.
Yeah, it's Marty.
Yeah, Marty. He's
the stoner guy.
Yeah, he's the star of Dollhouse, too. Everything he's in, he's amazing. He plays a similar character in each. But he is, like, amazing. Like, I love that man. He's hilarious. Everything he says
he
is hilarious.
He was really good in the movie. And I actually love, like, at the end when he survived, it turned out. Well, I mean, I always relate to a stoner character, especially him, because he just didn't give a fuck. Yeah. And I liked how good the stereotypes were in the movie. Like, all the all five of them, like, fit. You know, it was the jock, the popular girl, the nerd, the stoner, and the virgin. That's how they call it.
Horror movie stereotypes.
I know. And, you know, they fit them really well. And I liked – I just – there's so many, like, references in there. It's like, you know, when Chris Hemsworth starts acting like a jock, like a dirty jock, and mm-hmm. the guy, Marty, he's like, why is he acting like this? Like, he has a sociology major. Like, and yeah. It's like they reference it, like, why are people acting weird, or why are they doing this, or, you know, this, or like when they're looking through the house, and then Chris Hemsworth's like, I think we should split up, and then Fran Kranz is like, really?
He's like, really? What just happened? You like, just said we should stick together.
Yeah, it's like so fucking weird, but it's beautiful because, like, of course the guys in the control booth are controlling all this and making sure certain side effects happen, and it's crazy what how this works because we'll talk about why they do this whole experiment a little later because you don't really find out. To last of the movie, but you know it sets it up. They're, you know, these kids are in the cabin and they're watching over it. And this and what it sets it up in the movie is it's like an international thing they do. You know, every country in the world does this, where they involve people and you know if they get killed and whatnot. And what's I think it's interesting that you know you find out that like how they treat these kids or these college kids is just like. Guinea pigs, you know, like they make bets as to what will happen to them, like what's gonna happen, and then like they even talk about like the old dude they meet before they go to the cabin, and then it's like, I mean, what do you think we have that dude for? Some just creepy old fuck who says you will die. I mean, we put him there because it's like they have to choose.
Yeah, they have to choose to go in. It can't be like involuntary. They have to actively be like, yeah. No, we're coming in here. Even with this guy saying we're gonna die,
and you know they don't rig the results, and and you know they just kind of you know they send him to the cellar, you know. I mean, first of all, like they're spending the weekend at this cabin, and they you know they're being drugged against their will, their libido's being raised against their will. That's what makes the jock and the popular girl really horny, and.
Yeah, the hair dye that she uses actually seeps into her head and makes her dumb. Like, that was really interesting. She wasn't dumb at first. That was something, because she was like, I forgot. She was super smart.
Yeah, she was smart. And the chick, Dana, were friends, you know. They were all, and then, yeah, when the drugs happen, the whole thing changes and they're like freaking out, be like, what's happening, you know? And then like the other people, these are the nerd dude and you know, Marty the stoner, and then Dana, you know, they're looking at it and they're like, oh, you know, this is weird, why the fuck are they acting this way? And then, you know, the lab department places a bet, you know, and the whole bet is based on this, you know. They go, the cabin has the cellar, right? And then the group goes in there and they have to like, there's a bunch of like objects there, you know, they like stuff to pick from, and then the one like, okay, I think like a somewhat wise person in regular states would probably be like, eh, this is a little weird, or they wouldn't even go to this cabin in the first place. But what she ends up taking is this diary about a cabin resident who was abused, and then she actually speaks
Latin.
Yeah, like and then the stoner keeps telling her to stop, like, why are you doing this? And she just keeps doing it. I'm like, it's like, okay, it's kind of like I think of Evil Dead. If you see a book called The Book of the Dead with Latin written in it, don't open it, and more specifically, do not read it.
For the love of God, do not read the Latin. Like, can we just talk for a moment about how aware Marty was?
Because the whole time.
He was so aware because they played on the stoner thing by making him kind of smarter than everyone else, because the weed was immunizing him to all of the drugs that he was given, which was hilarious. Yeah. I love that. He was so aware, and everyone else was like, dude, what are you talking about?
Well, I thought that was really clever how they did that. And I mean, it's kind of relatable because like, you kind of just are with the flow as a stoner, and that's how he is. He's like witnessing all this, and it's like, what the fuck is going on? And yeah, he noticed all these scenes. He was right about the whole thing.
Yep. He said puppeteers way in the beginning.
And, you know, they were like, oh, this cat's crazy. What the fuck is he talking about? And then turns out, genius, and he's the one that survived. Well, yeah. But
theoretically.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of the ones who survived for quite some time.
Yeah, in the scope of the movie, he survived. If we look at from point A to point B. So And then, what is it, Hillbilly Zombies?
Redneck Zombie Torture Family. Very different than regular zombies. There's a distinction. Yeah. They made it clear.
Well, what I remember is one of the dudes in the control room, he wanted the Aquaman to come.
Yep, and then he got killed by a mermaid.
Or yeah, the merman. Or was it merman or the Aquaman? I don't remember.
Merman. He wanted a merman.
But I remember, yeah, you see it at the end where he gets killed by him. He's like, oh, what the fuck?
It's like, dude, this is poetic justice. Holy shit, I'm going to die.
what were the type of zombies again? Was it hillbilly?
Zombie redneck torture family.
Okay, I don't know why hillbilly keeps popping in my mind.
Because they were hillbillies. Honestly, like, it was gross. But there's this quote that I keep remembering every time I think of Cabin in the Woods. Mm-hmm. And it's something about the man's bulge or something. And I don't know. I don't know why that stuck with me. But
I mean, because it's iconic.
I sometimes I'm just like, he has a husband's bulge whenever someone has an erection. I'm like, oh my God, this is not something I should be saying, but no. Okay.
Or no, I mean, I just think about like I used to, like in high school, I remember the kids that'd be like, there's a difference between a redneck and a hillbilly. Look it up in the dictionary. And I'm like, I'd rather not. I mean, I'm sure there is, but I don't think I cared enough to know. Or I don't want to associate with it either difference that they have between the two parties.
I think rednecks might be a little bit more vicious about it and in your face. I think hillbillies tend to be kind of dumb and sweet, but rednecks are like, let's put this animal in a cage and torture it.
They consider hillbillies the more incest ones.
More incest because they have more love. So they love each other?
No. Still fucked up.
I was going somewhere with that, but it didn't work.
It's okay. I understand.
It's very little justifying the hillbilliness.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe they would have been better zombies than these rednecks that came out.
Oh, those rednecks were terrifying, though, honestly. Awful. Like,
those are the worst type of zombies.
My worst nightmare is redneck zombies.
Like, that's what, like, I'm okay with regular zombies, but redneck zombies, you're just taking, like, one thing I don't mind, which is the zombie part, and then making it bad with rednecks.
Yeah, rednecks, the redneck zombies were so twisted in their ways. Like, they had so many weird methods and gross weapons and
just not, but I mean, it worked in the movie because it was a good threat against them, and it was really unexpected. And it kind of like does that thing where it's like it's a cliche, but it's a cliche with a twist, which I liked.
Yes,
and you know, it all happens when the two of them, Chris Hemsworth and his girlfriend, I'm bad with names, but I'm better with dates.
She played Jules. Her name was...
Yeah, Hannah Hutchinson.
Yeah, Anna Hutchinson, yep.
Which I don't really know her from anything else. But she was in the show Spartacus, which I didn't watch. Because it was a star show. But yeah, they go out and then they have sex outside, and that's when the zombies start to attack. And this is all happening, and then they try to escape. She dies. She dies, and then Kurt, who is Chris Hemsworth's character, he comes and tries to, like, stop this or prevent this. Like, whoa, what? And I think, isn't that the part where it's like, we should split up? Or is that before they go outside?
That was beforehand. But what happened, because we should split up happened a while back. But for a while, you think it's a reality show, and so when they were having sex outside, it's like they waited until the full frontal happened on camera before they threw the zombies at them, because that's just how horror movies work. You have to make sure that there's some nudity in there, so I just like how they played on that.
Yeah, well, yeah, you do kind of think it's a reality show, because I remember when I first saw it, like, it starts off, you know they're being taped, and you know all this stuff is rigged, but you don't know why, so, like, you guess, like, why do they do this? And then... Yeah. You find out, and it all happens fast, because the Japan ceremony, which they explain, doesn't work, and then they try to escape. The group tries to escape in their RV, and then I remember there's this scene. It's like the tunnel they're gonna escape in wasn't collapsed or it was not blocked off, and then they're like, block off the tunnel, make sure they don't get out. And then it turns out there's like a computer mess up, which you find out later in the movie was because of Marty, because then you find out he's alive. But he made sure that the computer didn't work and that the bridge didn't work. But then it collapses, and they're like, oh, we're screwed. And then what happens is they see they're like, yeah, they have like the gap, like that they're gonna make the jump, and then they have the motorcycle, and then Kurt jumps, and then just crashes into like this force field, I guess.
It was so dramatic. It reminded me of Chicken Little with the squares and the polygons in the sky.
Oh yeah, well the sky is falling, and then and then it turns out the aliens are really cute and harmless.
Yeah, but it's like the same kind of shapes were going on in the middle of nowhere, like the polygons were just there.
It's like the Truman Show too. You know, it's kind of like a force field. Like it's all plates.
And now, you can't see it until something hits it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And with Chicken Little, it was like it fell from the sky, but it looked like a stop sign. But you couldn't prove anybody because it always just blended in. Yeah. So. But it was it's so funny when it happens, though, because, like, you're expecting, like, a really triumphant moment, and then it just, like,
into the wall.
It's hysterical. I don't know if it was played for laughs, but I thought it was really funny.
It was great. I think that it was hilarious. And also, you were like, oh, shit, now what?
Yeah, it was like an oh, shit movie. It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in Pulp Fiction when Marvin got shot, you know. Well, maybe not to that extreme, but that's like the ultimate oh shit moment. But this one, we were like, oh my god, like, what's happening? And then I think this is like kind of when they realize that the whole thing is rigged or staged. Like, yeah. I think that was the final clue.
It's the moment that kind of broke them a little bit. They were like, you know, I can't get out of here. No matter what I do, there's going to be something blocking us because someone is doing this. Something is happening. And it kind of, it's the moment that broke Dana, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because she kind of, she's not really the same for the rest of the movie. And there's a big turning point, like, right at the end. Well, like, she kind of, like, switches sides, but, you know, they go back to the RV. Why? I don't know. But, the nerdy kid, Holden, he gets killed.
Jesse Williams. I don't like to see him die. I love him so much.
Well, he was in Grey's Anatomy, right?
He was in Grey's Anatomy, and also he was in Demi Lovato's music video for Tell Me You Love Me, but he is just, like, a beautiful man and a fantastic actor.
Oh, Tell Me You Love Me?
Yeah.
It came up on his Wikipedia. Oh, yeah, he's the love interest in that video.
Yeah, no, you get to see him without a shirt on. That's nice. But he is a fantastic actor, and it killed me to see him die, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it was brutal. Like, well, I wasn't sure, because I thought as the nerdy guy, he may have was going to wait, like, last to the end, and then it became clear she's the virgin one. And then I was like, I don't know.
In quotes. She was not a virgin throughout the whole movie. In the beginning, they're talking about how she fucked one of her professors.
Oh, yeah.
The very first scene. So I think it's hilarious that they made her play off to be the virgin, and it still kind of worked for their purposes.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know. I don't know how they thought she was. Did she, like, give a clue in the movie thinking?
No, they were just like, she was like, I'm not a virgin. And they were like, we work with what we're given.
Oh.
So they just kind of made her think that she was, and then that would work somehow. I don't know. I guess it's intention and all of that.
Well, I think so. I think it was a good idea. Well, because they think they know more than they actually do.
Yeah, because also the girl who wasn't dumb became dumb, and the guy who wasn't jocky at all became a jock. It's kind of like what you think you become.
Yeah, like if you were in this situation. Like. Mm-hmm.
So she thought she was a virgin. She became a virgin.
Yeah. Oh no, it's like you drink a virgin cocktail, you become a virgin.
There's Shirley Temples.
No, virgin pina coladas and strawberry daiquiris. It's like, oop.
Virgin Long Island iced tea. What is that? Just like lemon coke?
Yeah. I don't even know how you do that.
Lemon cola. You just take out all the alcohol.
Well, do you like a good Long Island iced tea?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a lightweight with an affinity for Long Island iced tea.
Yeah. You know, my tolerance probably has dropped a lot because I haven't drank in like over a month. So I wonder if like I attempted to get shitty, how fucked up I'd be.
No, it's not hard, honestly. Oh. It hits you really quick, especially if you haven't drank for a while.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, you kind of just forget. But then you're having a really nice Long Island iced tea. So this is why alcohol goes good with movies. alcohol and weed because you're like, whoa, that's so cool.
I found that weed works better for movies because with alcohol, I tend to fall asleep because I go overboard and I don't know my limits.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done that with weed before, too.
Well,
I don't know. I've never gotten so... Well, only like a handful of times have I gotten so stoned where I like had to like... I never gotten sick. It was always just like, oh, I'm so tired. I have to go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Annabelle. Oh.
Annabelle was terrifying stoned. Like, that one is
Which one was it?
That was the, not the most recent one.
The one before?
The one before. The one that came out. Right around Irma came.
Oh.
Around that time. It was very scary.
Well, the first Annabelle came out long ago.
Yeah, but there was a remake of it that was modern, and then the one that just came out was a sequel to the remake.
It was a prequel
to the remake.
Well, it's all in the Conjuring franchise.
But that first Annabelle movie that came out a few years ago, the first remake, was absolutely terrifying, and never watch that stoned, man. Don't do it. It's probably not as bad sober, but I was not that.
Well, you're more scared of those movies than I am. Like, I can watch horror movies stoned and not be like scared because, like, I guess I'm kind of numb to that stuff.
Lucky you, man.
I know. It's great to be a ginger. Just kidding. It's almost there. You gotta do it. You gotta re-die.
Yeah, it's fading.
Fade away. So the virgins left, they think the ceremony succeeded.
Yeah.
But then it turns out Marty's alive.
Ooh, yeah, they don't have his blood. They have to have the blood of every one of the members.
When I first watched it, I was confused, and then, like, when I rewatched it, it was like, then they show, every time they like, release a monster, you see, like, the blood.
Yeah, you see it, like, kind of go into the mold for the ritual, which is really weird, but the mold's, like, shaped like whatever they were, like the fool or the virgin, and it was interesting.
Oh, for sure. And, it was kind of like, Greek, not, I don't know if it was, like, Greek mythology, but it was, like, oh, you have, these stereotypes, they fit the gods, and then you have to please them, which sets apart the... probably the best part of the movie is, she finds out, Dana finds out Marty's still alive.
Yeah, and he was just like, he rescued her right beforehand.
Yeah, right before, he kills her, and then you're like, ugh. Well, because they think it's successful, and then they get a call from the director, and it's like, oh, wait, like, turns out, like, someone went AWOL or something like that, and then you see him, and it's like, whoa, the stoner made it out okay.
And they were like, oh, like, shit, a triumphant moment. She has to die last. That's how it works. The virgin always dies last. So then they were like, we can't let her die right now, and that worked out. Because
Unless they killed both of them.
Unless they killed both of them. For a while, they tried that at the end, but it was more so like, you have to kill him first, so they stopped focusing on her for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, he was the priority because so basically like he found the grave or he found like a secret entrance under one of the graves, and that leads to like the hideout.
Yeah, it's where the zombie torture family, the redneck zombie torture family came from. Like, that's how they were shot up into the grave when they came out, and it led to the base sort of thing where everyone was stationed. It was kind of cool.
Well, and then, if you want to, like, what happens? Like, it's pure chaos.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, so, like, they, like, sneak in, and then there's all of these monsters all around them in different containers. And they were just kind of, they were floating around and just watching them for a little while. Mm-hmm. And you get to see all of the different possibilities that could have come up to them and tried to kill them. If they had picked any of those different trinkets from that room downstairs, but they picked up that diary, which was like a huge bet thing. But everyone was betting on which one they would choose. And
Let's get this party started.
Yeah. But like, yeah, so they go through all those things, and then they somehow make it out, and they make it into the area where they can let all of those monsters
like the control panel.
So they open all of the containers, and they were like, they talked to them for a little bit about what was going on, and they were like, they were just amazed to be meeting them, honestly. That seemed to be what was happening. He was like, it's mm-hmm. you. And then well, they like, pushed the button and everything came out and killed them.
That was really cool. Well, like security goes to them and then like they're thinking like, what are we going to do? Okay, we're just going to press it. And then it's like, lockdown. All of them get released. And then it's just undescribable because you have like all these iconic movie monsters in this one like location, like all trapped. And then press the button, they all get released and like, they're killing like all the people in the office. People have like machine guns fighting them off, and it's just beautiful how it's set. It's such a like what I really like about Cabin in the Woods and what the ending like kind of spells out is has such a good build. You know, it builds and builds, and you know what it's kind of I kind of describe it as like an onion. You'll see where I'm going.
Okay.
It's kind of like you just keep pulling back the layers, and that's like the real secret to why this movie works. Because you know, it gives you a little bit at first, and then it keeps like showing more and more, and then it gets to the point where it's like, oh my goodness, like this is what it was all building to. But it's not like in that way where it's like a twist ending. You know, it's not like a pull you under the rug. It's more subtle and organic. Like you actually,
it's just like you find out more, like a detective almost. Like you're just like, no, not like this, like this, and then. Like the ending, it's not like one of those movies where it builds up and then it lays flat. It builds up and then it goes hardcore. It's like, you know what? You're here. You watch the whole movie. Here's the show. Watch everyone die brutally.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, something like The Departed, you know?
Yeah. And then
everyone just fucking dies.
Yeah. And then that woman shows up. I forgot her name. I know her name.
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver just shows up, and you're like, okay, a wild Sigourney Weaver appears. What's happening here?
Yeah, well, it was a good cameo. And,
yeah, definitely.
I was reading, they wanted, like a really well-known actress, but a really well-known actress that, like, horror fans would recognize. Because, you know, she's known for Alien.
Yeah.
They cast her, and apparently it was, like, a dream come true. Like Joss Whedon said, it was, like, a dream come true to work with her. And And she was only on, like, a day of shooting, and he was like, oh, my goodness.
She only had one scene.
Yeah, like.
But it was iconic. You remember her from that movie. That's one of the last things you remember before it ends. But, like, she explains everything to them about how they're trying to please the gods so they don't crush and kill all of humanity. So they have this this ritual sacrifice of all of these different stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And the virgin has the option of living or dying, but she has to be last. That's the main thing. And since her and Marty were both in there, she was like, either you can kill Marty and save the world, or you can wait until the time runs out and just see the world burn. And they just chose for the second one.
Well, she has to think about it. Like,
yeah,
remember,
it takes
she's
a moment. You're like, oh, shit.
Well, that's why I think, like, that scene where he crashed into the force field, like, kind of changed her. Because she was going to do it, and then, like, she got talked out of it. And then she killed the, they called her the director.
Sigourney.
Sigourney. She's so good. Well, and she wanted to do the movie just because it had a werewolf in it. That's what she said. because she'd never been in a movie with a werewolf.
Interesting woman. Now she can say she was in a movie with everything.
Yeah, I mean, redneck zombies, for fuck's sake. Like,
yeah, there's like a frog spirit thing in Japan, too, which was cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much. Oh, yeah. And then he's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Like, he just goes apeshit on them. those guys are so funny. And they unfortunately die. Mm. But
all those kids.
Huh?
All of the kids in Japan, right? That's what you're talking about?
No, the two guys who run the experiment. Well, like, everyone dies, but, like, they die before the gods get unleashed.
Yeah.
Which is sad. But at least he died happy because he got killed by Merman.
Yeah. Yeah, he finally got to see one before he died. That was his goal in life.
It was beautiful.
Amy Acker, I kind of, I was still rooting for her. Like, she is amazing, and she was great in Angel, and she was great in Dollhouse, too.
Oh, she's like the one, the other scientist with him.
Yeah,
right?
I was rooting for her, though. She wasn't completely evil. She was watching, and she was like, this doesn't seem completely right, but she didn't do anything about it. But I love her. She's a fantastic actress.
Well, I liked her line. It was like, oh, I'm just drinking to drink. Like,
she's just, like, done with her shit. She's like, okay, I'm just gonna get drunk and watch and see what happens.
And in the movie, did they say they do it every year, like their ritual every year?
Every year.
Every year. And everyone in the world, every country in the world does it. And every country in the world feared except the United States. So that's why it's like essential that she kill Marty.
And when you think about it, imagine how many monsters are out inside the world at that moment on ground killing.
Yeah.
That it's crazy that they were the only country that didn't like fail at that point in time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's so many.
Yeah, well, they have so many opportunities. And, you know, I don't know if, like, when the gods get unleashed, if those other monsters are, like, free to go or they'll have their own reign, which would be cool.
That'd be great.
It was funny because someone actually asked Joss Whedon at a con if there'd be a sequel to the movie, and Joss Whedon was like, "Did you see it?" Like, no.
What sequel? Everyone died, man, except for the giants with the big feet and hands.
But I love me some monsters.
Yes.
So, good. You know, and then she's like, fuck it. Like, I'm not going to kill him. Well, I'm just going to wait for, like, the monsters to unleash. And then she killed the director.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was a very dramatic moment. And you, at the end, you're like, okay, that was a very, very interesting way of ending it. But I'm not mad. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought it worked really well, and I thought it was a good idea to... Well, and it was kind of like... I always kind of appreciate when movies kind of do just fuck it, you know?
Exactly.
The end of the world.
Tarantino style.
Yes.
End of the world. Everyone dies. You get attached to the characters, but it doesn't fucking matter. They're all going to die anyways. Just get used to it. I love when the bad guy wins.
Yeah, well, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it was, like, a different, because that was, like, he rewrote history.
Yeah,
like,
he rewrote history, and the bad guys didn't necessarily win because they basically all
died.
They
were real people.
They were real people, and they basically all died in the movie, but...
At the hands of Cliff and Rick.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, like, Thanos, for example. I was so happy when he won in Infinity War.
Yeah.
And then in Endgame, I was just like, you're going to undo it?
Yeah, but again, I want to save this for another episode, but Endgame did it so well. And the fact that they kind of cheated to bring the stones back, I like that they had to do a thing that was like last measure, you know?
Yeah.
So like they went back in time to get the stones. Like that's big, you know? And I think that was a really smart move. And the fact that I like Thanos in Endgame because I didn't at first because I didn't like his motivation. And then I thought more and I was like, I like his motivation in Endgame because he's like personally mad at the Avengers because they ruined his plan. So he's gonna make them. He's like, I'm gonna shred the universe because you didn't realize, like, you know, you dwell in what was instead of what can be.
Exactly. He was like, I thought getting rid of half the people would solve the problem, but the other half is just sad. So I'm just gonna kill you all, okay?
Well, it's funny if you look at the comments section, like when they bring everyone back in Endgame, everyone's like, "Hey, the economy's thriving." Everyone comes back down the shitter.
Right.
No, like no.
Bad guys have good intentions. Like I love the ones that are relatable. That's
well,
the
look
best
at the Joker.
Bad guy. Yeah, the Joker. He's relatable, but also he's not.
Well, I think that was the role of the new movie, was to give him, like, motivation and relatability,
yeah,
I think.
But at the same time, if you watch that before you watch the Batman movies,
yeah,
he goes a little bit farther than he should have.
Yeah, well, why? Like in Joker?
No, in Joker he's fine, but if you watch the Batman movies after...
The Dark Knight?
Yeah, the Dark Knight. I'm talking about the Dark Knight. Like, if you see him in the Dark Knight, he's going a little bit more far than he should after this point. Like, Bruce is all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stop messing with him after a point. You gotta stop.
Yeah. Well,
chill. Live your
life. And the cartoon show kind of, the Batman the Animated Series talked about that. Because there's an episode where Batman, quote-unquote, dies and... The Joker becomes really depressed because he's like, oh, without Batman, crime has no punchline.
Oh.
And I'm like, that was really well done.
It's existential. They have to balance each other out or else what do they have?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Force.
Ooh, yeah, it was Star Wars 9.
Mm-hmm. That's happening.
I know. Well, that's going to be a busy weekend for us because Cats and Star Wars 9 come out the same weekend. So we're going to do when we do the episode on that, that'll be a double dose of... Cats and Star Wars.
It'll be a very fun episode for you guys, I promise.
Yes.
Especially the cats part. We're going to see Taylor Swift eating catnip.
Man, like, your thought, we're gonna be so excited just to hear your thoughts on Cats. And
it's gonna be so awful. I can't wait.
Well, it's by the director of The King's Speech, which
it could actually be good then.
Well, if you, I like musicals personally, but like Sam and Juan hate them so much.
They're illogical. However, I have seen people listen to a song in person, but that's because I went to an arts high school, and that's just something that happened there. Was something that's never happened anywhere else in my life. But I was sitting in class one day, and suddenly everyone started singing Bohemian Rhapsody. Like
a cappella style?
Not even a cappella style. They were just singing the words. They could have done it a cappella if it was a better class, probably, if it was an honors class or something.
They were not honors.
No, it was regular class, so they were just singing it a little bit out of tune, but it just happened, and everyone joined in, and it went through the whole song. The teacher was just like, okay, I'll let this happen. You guys do you, you know?
Fucking teenagers, you know?
Yeah, but musicals, since that experience, I haven't thought of them as being quite so unrealistic with people breaking into song.
West Side Story.
What are they? Rival dance gangs?
Yeah,
like
the Jets and the Sharks.
Like they're gonna ballet each other out of there. I don't know. It's interesting.
It's definitely implausible for sure.
But no, I love musicals if I detach them from reality.
See, yeah. Well, as with most movies, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Or a good chunk of them. So, you know, I was reading and then they say, the whole population died. And on IMDb, it's like body count 6 billion because that was the population when the movie was made.
Oof.
Well, and they said the episode of Buffy, this was similar to, it was on here. I've never seen this episode. I want to see if you agree.
I probably know what it is. If you list the name, I might know it. And if I don't know that, tell me the season and around what part of it.
Primeval, season 4, episode 21.
That was...
Because apparently that also involves demons being released from a government facility.
Yeah, that was interesting. Season 4 was all based on the government and how they had a...
The government...
The
how
government.
Dare they?
Yeah, how dare they? They had a monster hunting team, basically. And Buffy got romantically involved unknowingly with one of the commanding officers of that monster hunting team, demon hunting team, whatever. And they, like, tagged them and then, like, sent them back into the wild sometimes to track them. Like, they were really inhumane, though.
Really?
And, yeah, they got Spike, but Spike got out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffy holds Spike as a hostage, but they slowly become friends. Like, he is, like, the most hilarious hostage ever.
Really?
But, yeah, I love Spike. He is by far my favorite character in the entire show, other than, like, Xander. But, like, it's great.
Everyone loves Xander and Willow, you know?
Exactly. Willow is the character I can relate the most to, I feel like. But, like, in terms of personality, but in terms of rambling, I'm more of a Xander.
Well, did you follow up the continuation of Buffy, like the comic books?
Yeah, I read them for a while. I did. They weren't as good.
I assume they jumped the shark.
They were just a little bit. They were missing something, I think.
Well, he didn't write all the issues. He only wrote a couple of them.
Once the world ends or is stopped from ending, you stop writing it. I think that was the last apocalypse, and they should stop. But they were still good. They just think it would have been better as a show.
Oh, yeah.
But in season 4, basically, like, the government facility ends up being, like, overrun, and all of the people in it basically die or move or work somewhere else because it gets shut down. Because the person who was running it, Miss Walsh, dies.
And that was, like, one of the last episodes of the season.
Yeah. So, she made a monster, like a Frankenstein, and he was like, she called him Adam because he was the first.
Adam?
yeah, because he was the first of his kind, because he was an interesting creature. And all of these creatures came out, all of the demons, and they just came out of the facility to the ground, and they just went willy-nilly, you know?
Whoa.
So it was similar, but not everyone died.
Just the people in that. That episode, yeah, season 4 aired May 16th, 2000. On the WB, everybody. Now they're called the CW.
That makes sense. Okay.
So, yeah. So, well, I just like, yeah, any movie or anything that ends with the whole world collapsing is okay in my book. And it's crazy. It just happens. Like, there's no, like, after scene or it just, they arise and start to destroy the world, you know? It was like, and they were just content. I mean, they were like, well, like, everyone dies in the facility. You know, they killed the director. They're like, it's going to happen. And then it just happens. But now, like, if you were in that situation, I assume you wouldn't kill that person and you would just watch humanity suffer.
Yeah, no, I would definitely watch humanity suffer. And I would just sit there and be like, you know what? Whatever happens. This is the neatest thing I will ever go through. I might as well have it happen. And it might as well be the thing that kills me. Because that's super neat. You know?
It's like being in the Thanos snap.
Yeah, like, I would love to be, what they call it in a Spider-Man?
Oh, they called it Far From Home. They call it the blip.
Yeah, I would love to be in the blip.
Blip, but I liked it. Well, there's two different. This is how like complicated it gets. Like Marvel has two. Like the snap is when Thanos wiped half of them, and they consider the blip is when Hulk brought everyone back.
Yeah.
Which it gets complicated, but like
I think it's the blip as the point in the middle.
Yeah, well I think that's what it initially was, and then like this is all like from fan discussion that I've read online, but it was basically like fans liked the name Snap better, so they kind of like doubled down and was like, no, that was when Thanos did that, and now when you know the period where they're gone and they come back, that's the blip. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I've read so much, like, with Endgame, it was, like, not, like, you know, like, the whole argument, like, if you were in a plane and, you snapped and then you come back, you're up in the air and you fall. Like, that argument, like, is invalid, according to the Russo brothers who directed it. Because they said, like, when Hulk had the gauntlet, when he snapped, he knew, like, everyone, he, like, made sure everyone would be safe when they came back.
Yeah, so he was in control of that.
Yeah, so, like, that whole argument, like, people got hurt, that wasn't true. Like, people, they just came back normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go over Avengers fan theory, that's another podcast. a 5-day-a-week podcast, just kidding.
Right, I feel like it would take that long, though.
There's so much fucking lore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's Marvel and then the Muppets. Kermit Swamp Ears.
Gotta love that Kermit lore.
You know, I don't even remember. I was so drunk when we watched that movie, I have no memory of it.
Yeah, you were very, very drunk. You are a person who usually I can stand you drunk. But that night, I was like, I need to get away from Jake.
I don't even remember.
You were pissed. You were pissed that I tried to get away from you. My God. You were just like, you were unbearable that night. I love you, dude.
I know. I don't even remember going that deep. Well, I don't even know how.
You went really deep.
Yeah. I think it was just unintentional. And then, yeah, the only thing I remember was the Middle Eastern snake of all the things. But this is why I don't drink anymore, folks.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't. But you could go moderately.
Well, no, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I socially drink. Like, I could have, like, it's kind of like how it was at the goth ball. Like, I had a couple beers, but, like, I don't go deep anymore.
Yeah. I've become more Sam-like in nature, and I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I love Sam, so I'll be happy with it for now. Until Sam pisses me off, and then I'll change my ways.
How could Sam piss you off?
I don't think it's possible, but if he ever does, I'll change my drunk ways, and I will go to AA or something.
Yeah. Well, I checked out his new place yesterday.
Yeah, I was invited, but I didn't see it until this morning.
Oh, you stopped by in the morning?
No, I didn't see the invite until this morning.
You were probably asleep.
I am shit at checking my phone. I wasn't even asleep yet. I think I was asleep like 30 minutes later.
I didn't get there till like around 11 or 12 because I had to work.
I was definitely asleep at that point.
Yeah, but it was fun. I mean, we weren't there that long. So, but I'll see him tomorrow, tonight, which will be cool. And yeah, I'm seeing The Lighthouse, which very excited about. Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson in a spooky horror movie, which
that'd be great.
Me and him are gonna record our rough thoughts and then probably post it up. Be like, what'd you think of the movie? Dope. And then all. So, any final thoughts on Cabin in the Woods? Just what do you think about it in general and how it has stood the test of time? Because the movie's already 7 years old, which is crazy, and it was filmed 10 years ago.
Joss Whedon has that about him, though. He can make anything withstand the test of time because timeless. Of his dialogue and just the way he does it. He can make things timeless because it's, even if it's dated, he has his way of making it always relevant.
Well, that that always reminds me of, like, it always bugs me when, like, well, not... It depends on the circumstance, but when, like, dialogue has really bad pop culture references in it. It's not like, you know, you look at something like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's different. You know, it's supposed to be set in the 60s. It's a period piece. You know, they're going to talk about that stuff. But, you know, if you, like, mention something new or relevant, like, in hopes of, like, product placement or something, and then, like, it stands out really bad, and it's like, you got to have your dialogue be more timeless. It's exactly. The worst in kids' movies. Kids' movies always like you do
definitely.
Like, look at Shrek. Like, well, I mean, there's a lot of references in Shrek that I don't even.
Oh, Shrek was interesting. Yeah, I love that movie though. It just
classic.
That's one of the movies that you go back and you watch it when you're older and you're like, damn, I understand why my mom was laughing at this movie. Well, I didn't think she would be.
I mean, I still get freaked out that he tied a snake up and blew up a frog. But
yeah, no, that's disgusting. But I just love that
terrifying Olga.
It was like, this woman, Snow White, may live with seven men, but she's not easy kind of thing. Oh, God.
Yeah, sorry. Bad echo there. That was the first time it happened in the podcast, but that was so funny when you think about it in hindsight.
Like, they wanted
the dwarfs wanted to fuck Snow White.
Yeah, she's not easy, though. She was like, no, you gotta work for it, and they gotta whistle and go on their merry way.
Because they're merry men. Wait, that's Robin Hood, but...
Mm.
But no, I totally agree. Cabin in the Woods stands the test of time. I don't know if, like, people younger than... I don't know, like, the kids in your class, do they know this movie? Or was this our era exclusively?
I think it depends. I do have kids who delve a little bit back past their time.
And it's not all memes and Fortnite.
A lot of it is, though, honestly. But I do have kids that go past their time. I have a student who is listening to a lot of Backstreet Boys the other day, and I'm like, ooh, you know, I'll allow this because of the memories that it brings me, but not necessarily because it's good, you know?
But they sometimes delve into their past.
Like. Sometimes they delve into my past. This is all stuff that came before they were born.
Oh.
They were born in, like, the 2000s, like, early
2000s. They're the post 9/11 babies.
Yeah, so it's, like, so weird. And they just, they go back and they listen to things from before they were born, but most of them don't.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because I remember you said, like, Zombieland 1 was really popular. Or they knew that movie. But, like, Zombieland's, not Zombieland, Cabin in the Woods more, like, cult classic.
Exactly.
Which is why it's... better movie, but it's highly recommended. You should absolutely check it out if you
100%.
Now you probably shouldn't have if you haven't seen it, you probably shouldn't have listened to this podcast, but
spoiler alert.
Well, all the episodes are spoiler alert.
Just be aware when you listen to the next one, in case this is not what you wanted. Wait until after you see the movie.
Yes. This is why I post the title of the movie and the poster in the description.
Do you put spoiler alert in parentheses?
No, I probably should.
You should.
Well, I talked about Joker and Zombieland 2 last time, and I don't know. Those are new movies, so I just thought, like, people know we're going to talk about them, and they just came out, so people are going to be like, oh... I don't know.
Avoiding it.
I will post, for this episode, I will post a spoiler alert. Don't worry.
Awesome. Thank you. Because that's a movie that you don't want spoiled.
No. You go into Cabin in the Woods completely fresh. It will change your mind. Excellent horror movie. What would you rate it out of? I don't like ratings.
It's one of my top movies of all time. That's what I'll say. It's one of my favorites.
Good. It's very high. Like,
all Joss Whedon's made it up there, though.
All of his projects. You know, you have Serenity and then Cabin in the Woods. Oh, the movie projects, but.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog was a thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember he did
once.
That, too. That was Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Fillion in it.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion's everywhere, man. He's in so many of them. He's in almost all of Joss Whedon's work.
Well, they must be close. He's like his De Niro, like what De Niro is to Scorsese.
Exactly. He's just everywhere.
Well, definitely watch this movie on Halloween.
Ooh, yes, perfect.
That's what I'm going to do.
Tomorrow.
Yes. As of this recording, Halloween is tomorrow night.
It is. Right now it is like 6:55 Eastern on the 30th
Yes. we're not recording in California, unfortunately.
Damn.
But definitely watch it for Halloween, or just watch good horror movies. Don't watch shit. Don't watch the Saw movies.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds.
I differ on that. I liked that one.
Sorry, it was on TV the other day, and I really don't like that movie. I really don't. I don't know.
Lightning never strikes in the same place. Oh, yeah,
and
then it strikes
like... and Tim Robbins is in that movie, and he just acts like a weird hermit. Like, I don't know. We'll talk about that in another episode.
Okay, I have to rewatch it. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. So
yeah, well, no, I just rewatched it. Like, it was on TV. It was on, like, HBO or Cinemax or one of those, and my mom had it on, and I was like, ooh, I can't deal with this. Any other Halloween movies like you recommend for people to watch? You just watch good ones, you know. Watch Midsommar, which came out this year. It's on video now.
Watch both of the It's. I think they
both
were great.
Both It's are very good.
And then It Chapter 2.
The new It's, not the 1990 movie.
Oh, yeah, don't watch
to clarify.
Those. Do not watch those.
The original Halloween, great movie. The Thing, the first two Evil Deads.
There was a... What else is there? What's that one movie with... Damn it. I'll remember in a moment. It'll come to me.
Do you know the do you know the person in it?
I did, but my mind went blank. I had something that I was going to say, and I forgot.
I could probably tell you what it is if I...
Yeah, if I remembered the people in it, I'd remember the movie. Oh, Langoliers.
Oh, I remember Langoliers.
Loved Langoliers.
That was classic.
Yeah.
That was another Stephen King miniseries.
Or Fuel. Watch any of these. They're all good.
Yeah, yeah. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, that was also good. That came out this year. And I think they re-released it in theaters for Halloween, which is pretty good. That was probably like the best of the horror movies I've seen this year.
Yeah, I recommend
the overrated ones.
Jekyll
and Hyde. Us was the most overrated one.
Oh, Us was awful.
I wouldn't say it was awful. It was just a sophomore effort, as they call it.
To be fair, I fell asleep drunk in the middle. I can't say much, but I didn't like it.
Yeah, it's not like... I don't know. It's not as good as Get Out.
Nah.
Not even close.
He'll raise my expectations and drop them.
Who knows what he'll do next time, though? Maybe he'll do something better. I don't know.
Oh, a movie we have to review at some point?
Saying
it now because we are being recorded and you'll remember...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to Bother You. Please.
We will definitely do the movie Sorry to Bother You on a podcast.
I want to be on that one.
Yes, definitely. Awesome. We will definitely do it at some point.
Okay, that's a ride all on its own.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
I hope everyone has a safe holiday and dress up and, you know.
Walk under some ladders, pet some black cats.
Superstition, man.
Yeah.
It's like golfers. They're the most superstitious people.
There's some salt on the floor. Do whatever you gotta do, man.
You know, yeah, and then as soon as Halloween ends, it's Christmas overload.
You forgot about November.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Siri's birthday's in November, so that's why you wanted to mention.
There's a lot of things in November. November's important.
November's a good month.
Yeah.
And they say most people are born in November because it's 9 months from Valentine's Day.
Yeah, my parents conceived me on that date.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't tell me, but I counted.
You counted?
I counted backwards. Don't you do that?
Oh, yeah, I do all the time.
Like 9 months and then the weeks before conception. Like when there's a point where you technically count and they start counting you as a baby.
Yeah.
And so you count back that many days and then you kind of get a rough estimate. It's around the 14th.
Okay. But that's still pretty funny in hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was conceived during Men in Black after the first one with Will Smith. So.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm an X-Files baby. My parents were watching that during that. Yeah, which is a totally interesting thing to create a baby too.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the X-Files because I really dislike David Duchovny.
So. I can't dislike it because it caused my birth.
True, that's deep, man.
Would I have been created without it?
Whoa.
Is the creator of the X-Files the creator of Siri?
Whoa, that's really deep, actually.
Actually, yeah. No, I should write them a letter and say thank you.
Who created the X-Files?
I don't know.
Chris Carter.
Is he alive?
Yeah.
Shit, okay. I gotta find Chris Carter and say thank you for making me. And he'll be like, what? Am I your illegitimate father?
He'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? Well, yeah, and he did the X-Files movies, too.
Ah.
Well, yeah, there was an X-File movie. Two of them.
Were they good?
I didn't see them.
I never saw them.
There's one in 1998, and then there was one in 2008.
The Buffy movie sucked. I'm glad that it made a TV show, but it sucked.
Well, that was the movie came before the show.
Yeah, I know. It sucked. I'm glad that the TV show was sprouted from that.
It was they took it in a different direction.
No, the movie was awful. I couldn't get through it.
It's Christy Swanson in it. Who's the... she doesn't do really good quality movies, but... and she's a proud Republican, but...
Ooh. Two strikes, you're out.
Three strikes. I can probably find another one. I can find another one, don't worry.
Okay.
Yep, so happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Hope you have a good holiday.
The longest ending ever. Yes, I'm sorry, guys.
We are chatty Cathys, it's okay. But we will see you next episode. Don't know what we'll review. Definitely got to do a review of the new Terminator movie.
Ooh, yes, that'd be great.
Because I don't know where that's going to go. I mean, the movies we're excited for... or at least I am, Terminator Dark Fate. More in like an ironic way, Dr. Sleep, Ford v. Ferrari. I know you, Charlie's Angels. That's the one you want to see.
That's my childhood.
Frozen 2. I know you don't like Frozen. That's me. Me and Kane are seeing Frozen 2.
Okay.
And then, you know, Cats, the new Jumanji. So many, a lot of good movies coming out the rest of the year. And then when the end of the year comes, we will do our top 10 best. Or not top 10, but best and worst of the year.
Yeah. That where sounds we just, good.
Where we, yeah. So, yep.
We should do that with music, too. We should have a top 10 best and top 10 worst.
Oh, I already got a plan for music podcast.
Sweet.
And I'll tell you about it after we go off. cut it off.
All right.
Anyway, have a good one. Signing off.
Signing off. All right. Bye, guys. Sorry we dragged that out.